Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Unveiling the Mysteries of the Bible. This program is brought to you live by the JC Overcomers Ministries out of Nebraska City, Nebraska. I am your hostess, Cheryl Fisher. My co-hostess is Lily from Texas. She should be joining us shortly. She also will be starting a program on Blog Talk Radio before long. Her name is on Blog Talk as SarahLee144. You're welcome to come and join us here every Friday morning at 12 o'clock a.m. We're going to start Fridays outright. We're trying out this new time, and I think this is the one we're going to stick with. That's every Thursday at midnight or Friday morning at 12 a.m. During these programs, I want to share with you some of the treasures I have found during my treasure hunt into the Word of God and some of the miracles I've seen along the way. Tonight, I want to focus on the image of God and the image of the beast. But before we get into that, I want to open this up with prayer. And I want to say hello to everybody that's in the room. Praise God. Thank you all for being here. Hi, Revival Fire. Grok. Bams is here. Let's see if I can open this up so I can see everybody else. Rusty Shakeford. Oh, Lee's here. Praise God. And got a couple guests on here. Well, praise the Lord. All right. In order for me to go into prayer, what I like to do first is ask the Lord to cleanse me from all my sins so that His Spirit can flow freely through me. If we have sins, they can get in the way of the free movement of the Spirit of God. So I like to pray the scriptures themselves in order to do this, because the Word of God is our intercessor, as it is the body of Jesus Christ that we lift up to God as our offering for our sins. In order to get to God, we must go through Jesus Christ as that one and only mediator and the door to the sheepfold. I'm going to be praying from Psalms 19, 12 to 14, if you want to follow along. Lord, I want to thank you so much for this time to minister to your people. I ask you to receive these words for your glory from your servant. Psalms 19, verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I ask you, Lord, to go out and send your Spirit to draw in whomever you want to participate in this program tonight, and all of those that you want to hear it, Lord, whether it's during the live program or in the archives, Lord. I ask you to draw them in at your particular timing I ask you, Lord, to guide each of us tonight as we get into your word. I ask you to anoint the words that pass through these lips, that they will bring you glory and honor. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask you to go out and prepare the fallow ground. I ask you to break up that fallow ground so that the seeds of your word can find good ground, good soil, to bring forth fruit to your holy name. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And during the program today, I'm going to play a little short kind of an ad. BAMS is having a prayer meeting on Saturday, this Saturday evening at 6 o'clock. And so that will give you some more information, and I'll probably play that just towards the end of the program. Okay. I don't see my co-host calling in yet, so I'll go ahead and just get right into the teaching here. This, again, is called the image of God or the image of the beast. In this study, now what we'll do in this program, by the way, is I'll go through the study, and then after I'm done with that, then I will open up for phone calls. So anybody that has any questions or comments or would like to give any feedback on this teaching, you'll be more than welcome to call in then. Okay. In this study, I want to show you just how awesome the Word of God is. To do that, we'll start with the words from only one verse in the Bible. From there, I'll lead you through some of the mysteries in the Word of God to find some awesome treasure that He has hidden there. If you are a treasure hunter, this study is for you. This study will also show you how each scripture in the Word of God is interwoven with the others to create the masterpiece of all masterpieces, the image of God. If God hid things inside of His Word and the translators did not know that they were there, they would not have known to keep the patterns intact, to preserve those mysteries hidden within the pages of that book. From just one verse, I want to show you how important those patterns really are. Today, you will see the difference changing just a few words will make in the patterns God stuck in there. In this study, you will get a taste of how, when you follow those patterns, you can even find out what the mark of the beast actually is. May you have eyes to see and ears to hear the truth and nothing else. I have a comparison of one verse here in three different Bibles to see if changing the words can make a difference in the interpretation of Scripture or not. This is King James, Isaiah 27, verse 1. In that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Now we go to the New King James, same verse, Isaiah 27, verse 1. In that day, the Lord with his severe sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, that twisted serpent, and he will slay the reptile that is in the sea. The Amplified, same verse, Isaiah 27, verse 1, Amplified Version. In that day, the Lord will deliver Israel from her enemies and also from the rebel powers of evil and darkness. His sharp and unrelenting, great and strong sword will visit and punish Leviathan, the swiftly fleeing serpent. Leviathan, the twisting and winding serpent, he will slay the monster that is in the sea. What I have done is in the study that I have here, if anybody wants it, I can actually send it to you. And what I did in the study, I actually changed the color of the main words that we deal with in this, so they'll stand out to you when you get the written study. So if you want to write to me, it's www. Wait a minute. It's I'm sorry. That's my website. It's jcovercomersministries@yahoo.com. And if you write to me, I'll copy and paste the study for you and send it to you so you'll have it in writing so you can actually go through it later on if you want. Let's see. I want to check and see what people are writing here. Okay. Oh, is the sound okay? Because somebody said something about, is your audio breaking up? Mine is. I'm hoping that's not mine, but Lord willing, it's okay, I hope. All right. The first thing I want to do is establish who the dragon is in the scriptures. Just in case you did not notice, take another look at this New King James and the Amplified Bible verses again. The word dragon is gone from the Amplified and the New King James in Isaiah 27, verse 1. In the New King James, they interpreted the word to be reptile. That means it could even be talking about a turtle, a lizard, an alligator, a toad, or a multitude of other things that the word reptile can represent. In the Amplified Bible, they interpreted the word to be monster. Well, I wonder what kind of monster they thought it was when they wrote that verse. Possibly maybe a dinosaur or an octopus, I don't know. In old times, either of those could have been considered to be a monster. A monster is pretty vague to me, just like the word reptile is. Where dragon is a lot more specific. Oh, thank you, Grok. I'm glad it's sounding okay, because if I need to adjust the volume or something, I'd sure like to know. I'm trying out this other computer tonight, so I'm hoping that the sound's better than the laptop, because it always had so much noise in the background. Okay, now we're going to go to 2 Peter 1, verse 20, and that'll be in the King James. Now, I want you to watch how when you follow the word patterns in the Bible, you'll get the interpretation that God put inside his word himself through the Holy Spirit. Okay, 2 Peter 1, verse 20. Oh, I think Lee's on here. Are you there, Lee? Are you there? I'm not hearing you, hon. Hi. Praise the Lord. This is Lily, my co-host. Co-host.
I didn't touch the one until after you finished talking.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad you made it. All right. Now I'm going to be doing this.
I'm still trying that other setup where I can hear Skype and talk without calling in.
Oh, okay. All right. If you want to mess with your computer or whatever for a while, I'll be on this for a good half hour yet.
Okay.
Okay. All right. It's up to you. You can hang in there. If the Lord gives you something, please jump in. All right. Okay. 2 Peter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy is of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. To follow a word pattern of the word dragon, for example, you need to look that word up in your Bible, possibly using a concordance, and read each verse that contains that word. Always read enough of the verses with it to make sure that you're keeping it in context. For this study, I'm only going to use a few of those scriptures just to show you how this is done. I'm only going to use the King James Bible because I know those patterns are still intact there. So we're going to start in King James, Revelation 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. From this one scripture, you can see that the dragon also equals the serpent, is also the devil and Satan, and he is the one that deceives the whole world, and he is the one that gets cast out into the earth. So the dragon is the serpent, the devil, Satan, and the deceiver of the whole world. And he's the one that gets cast out into. Now let's see some more of who this dragon actually is. Now we're going to go to Ezekiel 29, verse 3. Speak and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers, which hath said, my river is mine own, and I have made it for myself. From this scripture, we see that the dragon is also the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Along with that, notice that he has his own river. You know, kind of like God has the river of life. Well, the dragon has his river too. So let's add that to the equation. So we've got the dragon equals the serpent, equals the devil, equals Satan, equals the one that deceiveth the whole world, and equals the one that is cast out into the earth, and he is the Pharaoh, and he has his own river. From here, I want to establish again, through another witness in the scripture, how the serpent is also Pharaoh. For that, we go to Ezekiel 31, verse 18. To whom art thou thus like in glory and in greatness among the trees of Eden? That's right, it's talking about in the Garden of Eden. Yet shalt thou be brought down with the trees of Eden unto the nether parts of the earth. Thou shalt lie in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that be slain by the sword. This is Pharaoh and all his multitude, saith the Lord God. This verse talked about Pharaoh and all his multitude. That is the same one that gets cast down into the earth with his angels, who is also the dragon and the serpent. Now we see two scriptures that the Pharaoh indeed was in the Garden of Eden amongst the trees. Now I want to add another two parts to the equation. For this, we go back to Isaiah 27, 1. In that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent. Notice it's Leviathan and the piercing serpent here. Even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Here we see that the serpent is not just a serpent, but he's also a piercing serpent and a crooked serpent that is also called Leviathan. Just one problem with this, though. In the New King James, he's no longer the piercing or crooked serpent, but he is now, in that Bible, a fleeing and twisted serpent. The pattern of the word piercing would be gone from the New King James, and so would the pattern of the word crooked in the New King James. I thought they only were supposed to take out just the these and the thous, though, according to the advertisement that they put out for that Bible. To me, it looks like they took out a whole lot more than just the these and the thous. If you go back to the beginning of this study and you look at the Amplified verse, they did the same kind of changing in that verse. Instead of the piercing or crooked serpent, he's now a swiftly fleeing serpent and a twisting and winding serpent. Now, you might be saying, well, what difference does it make? It sounds pretty close. Well, believe it or not, those words crooked and piercing are of utmost importance to the patterns that God stuck within his word. And if you stick with me, you're going to see some of that. The words piercing and crooked that describe the serpent are gone again from those verses, though. Since those words are still intact in the King James, we will add those words to the equation along with the fact that he was in Eden. So we have the dragon is the serpent, the devil, Satan. He's the one that deceiveth the whole world. He's the one that gets cast out of heaven. He's the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He has his own river. He's also the piercing serpent, the crooked serpent, Leviathan, and he was the one that was in the Garden of Eden. Are you starting to see how the patterns start forming here? Okay, now we'll look at the pattern of the word pierce. So we're going to go through each one of these words so that you can see if you change one of these words, the pattern's gone completely. And you'll never see the mysteries unfold from the Word of God. Okay, Psalms 22, verse 16. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. The wicked people that followed the devil are the ones that pierced Jesus' hands and feet. Notice it's the same word pierce because it is part of one of those patterns God put inside his word. Now we go to John 19, verse 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And again another scripture saith, this is verse 37, and again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. That is why the word pierce is so very important. It actually connects the devil's serpent to the piercing on the cross of the Lord of glory. So if you take out that word pierce, you have missed that the dragon was involved in the piercing of Jesus Christ on the cross. Not only did the dragon serpent pierce Jesus, but he also pierces all those that lean on him instead of the staff of the true Word of God. To see that in Scripture, we go to Isaiah 36, verse 5. I say, sayest thou, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Lo, thou trustest in the staff. We're supposed to lean on the staff of the Word of God. But thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. Remember, if you're trusting in Pharaoh, king of Egypt, you're also trusting in the serpent and the dragon. And notice the word reed, and the Lord just hit me with this as I was reading this. In Revelation, it talks about a reed that's used to measure the temple, I believe. Well, this is a broken reed. And that temple, the church that follows it will be broken also. Okay. Instead of leaning on the true Word of God, they lean on vanity instead, which is actually the staff of Egypt, instead of the staff of life in the true Word of God. And the result of that is their hands are pierced. That is the spiritual mark in the hand as the result. They lean on the wrong staff. It breaks and pierces into their hand. The dragon inspired men through their vain imagination to rewrite the Bible. But as he did, he got them to take out the keys of knowledge. Those are also the keys of hell and death that God has stuck within his word. They took out those keys of knowledge that God had hidden within his word. Those are those keys of hell and death. Just as the holy men were moved by God to write his scriptures, unholy men were moved by the devil to rewrite the Word of God, and they used their spirit to write down the devil's replacements for the true Word. Second Peter 1, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. We use the Word of God to do the interpreting for us. But if the Word's been changed, the interpretation has been changed also. Verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. Let me check my chat. Okay, I got about 34 minutes. I guess I better hurry. Okay. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. That word root is also a pattern in the Word of God. And it's an awesome one. As I've done these studies, I've found so many treasures in the Word. It's just unbelievable when you do these word studies. His Word is perfect. I'm telling you, it is perfect. Don't take my word for it. Start doing the word studies and you're going to find out. Okay, 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves. They pierced themselves. Nobody else did it. They pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Those Bibles are full of error, which actually, believe it or not, is the spirit of Antichrist. And you'll see that here as we go on. I want to hit on one more thing from that Isaiah 27:1 scripture, and that is the word crooked serpent. And for that, we're going to go to Deuteronomy 32, verse 5, because I want you to see the pattern in this one also, okay? It says, this is Deuteronomy 32, verse 5, they have corrupted themselves. Men do this to themselves. Instead of accepting God as he is, they want to change him, and they want to make him better, easier to understand. When they didn't understand to begin with, or they wouldn't have touched it. Okay, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. They're a crooked generation because they're following the crooked serpent. Okay, Job 26, verse 13. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. But if you follow these same scriptures in any of those other Bibles, guess what? Those pattern words are going to be changed for the most part so that the keys of understanding are going to be gone. Okay. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Psalms 125, verse 5. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. The workers of iniquity are the ones that are working these lies, and they end up leading us because we lean on those lies instead of God. When we turn away from God, the workers of iniquity are waiting there to take a hold of our hand. Isaiah 40, verse 4. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. So if you change that word crooked in any verse, you have actually changed the pattern God stuck in there. Isaiah 42, verse 16, for some more of this pattern. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Philippians 2, verse 15. Here's some more. God's word is so awesome. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as light in the world. Instead of staying in the narrow way of the true word of God, what man has done is gone away from the straight and the narrow. And thereby, as he turned away, he turned the straight and narrow way into a crooked, broad way instead. If he kept going straight and abided with Jesus all the time, the path would have remained straight. But as soon as the devil is over on the side luring him to him, he turns to the right hand or to the left. And by doing that, he turns that narrow way into the broad way and the crooked way, because he turned away from the straight and narrow. That also includes any teaching that does not follow all the counsel of God within his true word. If we allow the devil to pull us away from the truth unto anything, any doctrine, any teaching that does not line up with the word, which is absolutely provable, which you should be able to see from this today. If we allow anyone to pull us away from that, we ourselves are making that straight and narrow way into the crooked way instead. I'm hoping that now you can see why that word crooked in Isaiah 27:1 is so important. And how dare those Bibles, the people that wrote those Bibles, how dare they change those words? Because that one scripture is such a key to understanding the entire Bible. It's just unbelievable. And for man to go in there and change any of those words, God have mercy on their souls. Those words cannot be twisting. They can't be winding. They can only be crooked. It has to be crooked in order to, for us to connect all those pieces of the puzzle together. The serpent can't be a fleeing serpent, but he has to be a piercing serpent so we can connect that he's the one behind the piercing of Jesus Christ on that cross. And the dragon cannot be a monster or a reptile, but only a dragon, because the dragon, the word dragon, will connect us to all those other scriptures about Pharaoh being the dragon and how he was in the Garden of Eden. He can't be a turtle, and he can't be an alligator or a lizard, but only a dragon. If any one of those words have been changed, the entire picture of the entire Bible has been changed. The image of God is no longer the image of God, but it's made after man's vain imagination. It's the image of man instead of the image of God. And that's only one scripture that they have perverted. They wanted to sell more Bibles, so they tell us that it will be easier to understand. But instead, the true understanding of the precious Word of God has been taken out. I'm sorry. I get a little upset because I see how awesome God's Word is, and it really upsets me to see what they've done to it. It's so shameful. Psalms 23, verse 5. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Remember, we're not supposed to lean on the other staff of that broken reed, but we're supposed to lean on the staff of God, the bread of life that gives us life when we hang on to it. The Word of God is our comforter, and it is our staff of life that we're supposed to lean on instead of our own imagination. It strengthens us for the battle, if we have the right one, that is. Hosea 4, verse 12. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff, declareth unto them. Now, if that isn't a word speaking to us, I don't know what is. Because it says right there, their staff declareth unto them. It's their staff. It's not his. For the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. If that hasn't convinced you, please look at all the scriptures that I've used here and see if you can get the same picture from any other Bible that is out there. Because I guarantee you, it's gone from all of them. Only one Bible I know of keeps those patterns intact, and that's the King James. And it's not the New King James. It's the regular, good old King James. If you know of another Bible that does keep these patterns intact, please let me know, because I want to see it. I've got a lot of Bibles, and I've never found one yet. Because we're supposed to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. And if we don't, it's our souls that's at stake. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, is the church, believe it or not, that has accepted another in the place of the true word of God, as well as all the doctrines of the devils that's in the churches. And that's why she has the names of blasphemy on her forehead instead of the name of Jesus Christ. She should have the name of God on her forehead, but she doesn't. She has the names of blasphemy. And what's blasphemy? But going against the true word of God. Okay, I've got a phone call, but before I do that, I want to play Bam's ad for her program this Saturday. So hang on, and then I'll be ready to take your phone calls. So hang on, please.
Hey guys, this is Rando the Mando. Just wanted to let you know some awesome news. BAMS, the host of On Fire with BAMS, will be hosting a women's intercessory prayer meeting. This meeting is going to take place Saturday, September the 25th, 2010. It's time for you girls to stand up and do some praying. Ask God to forgive this nation and this people. Give us a little more time to get it right. Snatch some souls from the fire. So if you're interested in being on BAM's panel, the requirements are you've got to love the Lord and be a woman. Guys, we're going to be joining in the chat room to support the ladies in agreement as they pray for us, as they pray for our nation. Any of you girls out there is interested in being on the panel, got something to say, you want to take part in this amazing, amazing session that we're going to have, get in contact with BAMS, www.kiwi.com. You can also reach her on her Blog Talk Radio spot at On Fire with BAMS. www.blogtalkradio.com/BAMS. Love you guys. There's some amazing things going on in Blog Talk Radio. It's awesome to be able to share these things with you. So God bless you. We hope to see you there next Saturday night. Shalom.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, don't forget, that's this Saturday. Brock says the Catholic Church is the Whore of Babylon. Okay, we'll get into that here shortly. I don't know if I'm going to make it Saturday because that is our regular time for Bible study here at my house. So I don't know if we'll end up being able to make it over there Saturday for the prayer meeting or not, but I sure wanted to give a shout out to everybody else, so you'll know about that meeting. Okay, let's get ready to take a phone call. Byron says on here, there is way too much religion out there, not near enough gospel of Jesus Christ. Boy, I agree with that. Okay, caller. Hello. You're on the air. Who do we have here? You still there? This is 573-358 number. Are you still on? Uh-oh. I think we might have lost them. Hello? Lee, are you still there, hon? Lee? Uh-oh, I hope I didn't lose her. You still there, Lee? Okay, well, I'm taking calls now if anybody wants to call in and make any comments at all. I would like to make a comment about the Catholic Church being the whore of Babylon, though. The Catholic Church most definitely is part of the whore of Babylon, but she's not all of it, not by a long shot. Anybody that is following the lie of the devil is actually part of the whore. If we're following the world instead of Jesus Christ, we're part of the whore. If we allow any lie to be planted in our heart, we are one of the children of the whore. You see, in the Garden of Eden, there was a choice made between whose word they were going to believe, whether they were going to believe God's word and allow those words to be planted in their hearts, which actually ends up as the tree of life growing within them, or to believe the devil's words. And what they did, they chose that day who they wanted to believe, and they put their faith in the serpent's words instead of God's words. And that is our battle, guys. That is our whole battle as to which voice we are going to believe and which voice we are going to obey. There's nothing more important, because our faith is supposed to be in Jesus Christ. So we need to know his voice, so that we can't be fooled. And as you can see, just from these scriptures that we hit today, that God's word is provable. And he expects us to prove his word and hold fast that which is, let me see. I'm losing it. I better look it up. It talks about prove all things and hold fast that which is good. All right, I'll look it up anyway. I like to do that. So hold on. I've got this program on my computer. And if anybody's on the line, I've got it showing that I've got two people online. If you want to speak up, now would be a good time. I don't know if the phones are just not working or what's going on here. Can you guys still hear me out there in the chat? Somebody write in there if you can still hear me, okay? All right, we're supposed to, this is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. And it says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Oh, Jiminy, I guess I didn't have them on here. anybody on the line?
Yeah.
Hello? I'm on the line.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't have it clicked. I'm so embarrassed. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
we've got a 573-358. Are you still there?
Yeah, yeah.
Hi, who we got here?
Tony Foss from Missouri.
Could you speak just a little bit louder? I can't understand you, hon.
Oh, sorry about that. I have a problem with my speaking.
That's okay. Who are you?
Tony Foss.
Did you get that, Lee? I didn't quite make out. Well, we want to welcome you to the program, and I'm sure glad that you joined with us.
Yeah, I just heard you on and said I would give a call in.
Well, praise God for you. I'm glad you did. Anybody else that wants to call in, you're sure welcome to. I'm sorry, I need to apologize to you, because I thought I had you clicked on my speaker, but I evidently didn't hit the button right. So please forgive me for that.
You're forgiven.
Did you have any questions or anything that you'd need to ask?
Yeah. What do you think about in the Book of Revelation? What do you think about the second coming people saying about 2012?
In chapter 12? Is that what you're saying?
No. The second coming up in 2012, what do you think of that?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand what you said. Did you understand that, Lee? Are you in the chat by chance?
No.
Could you write? Oh, okay. Did you understand what they said, Lee? I didn't quite understand. Can you repeat it again, please?
Is this clear enough? I said, what do you think about 2012? People saying that that's going to be the end of the earth.
Do you have a particular verse here?
What do you think about the coming in 2012?
Oh, okay. I don't know about that. I don't have any opinion on that at all. I don't think it's going to happen then, because I think Jesus is coming all the time.
Yeah.
Because did you know that when we put his word inside our hearts and minds, that he is coming even right now as we speak? His spirit is coming in us as we put the word of God in us, and he lives through us through his word. Now there will be a time where he comes back to claim us all for himself and gather us together, but I really don't think that's going to be in 2012.
Yeah, well, people were just saying that.
Well, there's lots of people out there that say lots of things, but that don't mean that it's true. That's why we need to prove all things and hold fast that which is good with the Word of God. What were you going to say?
What you're saying about the Word and that.
Uh-huh.
I like that.
Well, thank you.
Being a witch, I got a show on Blog Talk.
Yeah?
I'm going to be having.
Oh, really? Awesome. What's the name of your show?
It's Holy Bible Radio, Bible Man 18.
Bible Man 18.
Yeah.
Does it have Holy Bible?
Holy Bible Radio.
I got Holy Bible, and then I got 18, but what was in between that?
Radio.
Holy Bible Radio 18. Is that right?
It's Bible Man 18.
Holy Bible Man 18.
Yeah.
Yay, we got it. Praise God. Yeah. All right, I need to write that down. So when are you going to start your show?
The 25th.
Bible Man 18. Well, you make sure and write to me and let me know when you're going to have your program so I can try to listen in, okay?
Okay.
All right. I've got a couple more callers on here, so I'm going to see who else is on. I've got you all on mic, so whoever's there, speak up, please.
Hey, it's Brock. How are you?
Hey, Brock, praise the Lord.
Great show as always. Hey, I just wanted to comment on what the last caller said, that, you know, the Bible says that the earth abideth forever and that this is a world without end. So all those people who are worried about the world ending, it's never going to end.
Amen. So, and we're going to rule on the earth for at least 1,000 years, huh?
That's right. And then the earth will be recommissioned. There'll be a new heaven and new earth.
Amen. So, it's being recreated.
Worry no more. Kick the devil in the head. It's a lie.
Amen. Amen. And God has not given us spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Hey, keep doing a great job. I love your show.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm so glad you were able to join us. I see some new names on here that I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, you're drawing them in.
You think? No, the Lord's doing it.
The Lord's
drawing them in.
Through you. God bless you.
God bless you,
too. Talk to you soon. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Love you. Bye. Thanks for coming on, Grock. Yeah, Grock's got his own show. Hey, Grock, you want to put down... I think it's called GROK558, and he has got a praise and worship. At, Grock, is that at like 5:30 every day now? Did you change that to 5 or 5:30? I can't remember. If you want, write it in here so that I can tell everybody, okay? Lee, you still on there, hon?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah. All right. We got anybody else on? Okay, I don't hear anybody else. Did you have anything you'd like to say, Lee? Lee? I think I lost you again. Okay, gone. All right, Grock has, let's see. Or Byron says, 2012 does not matter. Every day matters. Amen. And what we do with every single day that God has given to us makes all the difference in the world. Guys, I really want to encourage you to do like what we did today in this study. Do word studies in the Word of God. You know, you've got a whole bunch of people out there that are trying to interpret the Word of God from their own spirit. And I'll tell you what, all you got to do is look up those words all the way through the Scriptures. And it's like God has this humongous puzzle with probably hundreds of thousands of pieces. And when He sees that we are hungry for Him and that we want to get to know Him, He's going to start showing us where each one of those pieces comes together in His Word. Just like, you know, when I started doing this dragon study and to actually find out that Pharaoh, king of Egypt, was actually in the Garden of Eden to begin with, you know, it just stunned me. And if you think about it, the Pharaoh, the great dragon, he is the one that was holding the Israelites captive from worshiping God. And what is happening in the spirit now? It's like a type in the shadow of what's going on right now. The spirit of the devil has held the people of God captive through lies and through deceit. He holds on to us through those lies. Because if we don't know the truth, we can't be free, because the Word of God says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So if we, if you or ye, I'm not sure. Lord, please forgive me if I'm saying it like I shouldn't. But if we know the truth, freedom is going to come as the result. The Bible also says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We need the knowledge that God has within His Word. Because believe it or not, within the Word of God is our weapons of warfare. That is how we are going to fight the enemy. That is how we're going to learn discernment. Because the more we know God, the more we're going to know the enemy. And believe it or not, the more we know God, the more the enemy is going to know us. Just like, the Lord's given me a verse and I got to look it up. It talks about Paul I know and Jesus I know. And this is the seven sons of Sceva, or the seven devils. Paul. Let me see if I can find where that verse is at. And if anybody else has it before me, jump in there. It's Acts 19. And I want to show you something from this, these verses. Let's back it up to verse 11. This is Acts 19, verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. Notice here, in verse 13, it says, Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, these guys are supposed to be exorcists, okay? Hello, they're supposed to already have the power of God with mm-hmm. them to be able to cast out devils, but obviously they didn't, but yet they were called exorcists. And notice also, it was, let's see, I think it's, oh, chief of the priests. In verse 14 it says, and there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests which did so. Okay, here's the chief of the priests that's doing this stuff, okay? But notice what ends up happening to them. It says, let's see, it says in verse 13, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. So even if somebody is a chief of the priests that man looks up to, doesn't mean that they know God. Because here it says in verse 15, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? So we need to know God, so that God also knows who we are, so that his power can be manifested through us. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And that's what the spirit of the devil does. He removed our covering that Jesus Christ puts on us, our spiritual covering as well. These guys got their clothes ripped off. But Jesus Christ covers us in his word. And we don't want the devil to ever take away our garment of righteousness. So we need to know God and know the power of God to such a degree that the devil is never, ever going to be able to steal it away from us. I want to thank everybody for coming to the program today. I want to remind you again, remember the ad for BAM's program on Saturday at 6 p.m., the ladies' prayer meeting. I want to invite everybody to come back again next time, and I thank you, thank all the callers, and I thank every one of you for joining in on here, and may God bless and keep each and every one of you in Jesus' holy name. Thank you for being here. Bye-bye.
Well, gone when my heart had no song. Still in love, he proved faithful to me. Every word he promised is true. And what I
Thank you.